Perhaps you noticed today the rather unusual bulletin cover. I must admit, when I first saw it myself, I wondered, what does this mean? And then I realized that the text in my sermon answers the question. For those listening at home, is a picture of a man with an unusual expression on his face and his mouth open. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two ahs in our text, our readings from today, from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament Gospel. The first ah comes from hearing about the sign given in the Old Testament, the rainbow. Ah. Everybody loves a good rainbow. It's better than fireworks and even green friendly. Was so even before green was popular. Rainbows are rare. They don't appear often. You can unfortunately go years without seeing one. And when I see one, I need to tell someone. Tell Gretchen, tell the girls, look, there's a rainbow. If they're not nearby, I'll tell anyone. Strangers at Kroger, dogs, cats, insects. Ah, look at it. Beautiful, refracted light. All the colors, Roy, G, Biv, Roy, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, packed into pure light. Of course, it's just a bow. You only see half, and you wonder about the part that you don't see. When I was young, my friends and I in South Dakota would run and run and run until we were exhausted. We were running to see if we could get to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You know, the one from the Lucky Charms commercials? Didn't work. Now that I'm older, I get to tell my kids to go and run after it so they can experience the same disappointment that I did. I want them to understand me better. Eventually, when more than one person is gazing up at a rainbow, someone says, "You know what it means, don't you?" And just for fun, even though I've heard it 1,000 times and I'm a pastor, I say, "No, you tell me what it means." Then you hear little Johnny or frail Grandma Smith give the 1-minute meaning of the rainbow from Genesis, usually with some detail completely foreign to the story that I've never heard before, like, "I don't remember the lobster part. I think you may be mixing up Disney stories with the Bible. After all, Grandma, lobsters don't drown. I'm pretty sure they weren't on the ark." What the rainbow means from Genesis: that God will never again send a flood to destroy all the living creatures on the earth. Not like he did in Noah's day, because of all the sin and the widespread disobedience and unrighteousness of the people. People who didn't heed the call to repent and believe that God would save them. Save them from drowning in the water. Save them from drowning in themselves, in their own self-centeredness, apart from the pure mercy of God. Noah was different. He believed in God's mercy, and he listened to God's word. He is a Christ-like figure in the Old Testament. Noah, like Christ, believed in a gracious God who would save willingly through faith in the Word of God. Not out of some human merit or achievement, as if we had anything good to give God on our own. Luther said, "God didn't save sinners because we're lovely. He saved because he is love, and he made us perfect. And he made us the object of his love. We love God because he first loved us." If you look carefully at the text in the Old Testament, you see that God established this covenant, this promise, with Noah and his descendants. And that's good news, because we are to understand ourselves as the descendants of Noah. But not only us humans, but with every living creature that is with you, the text says, that this promise is for both man and for beast. God made a promise with the animals too, every creature. This promise, this covenant, was what we call a unilateral covenant. It's not like the covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, that was called a bilateral covenant. A unilateral covenant depends only on the one party who is making the promise, not two parties. It's an unconditional promise. God, in this unilateral covenant with Noah, says, "This is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you." This is God's covenant that He alone is making. And that's good because we, being sinful, would have a hard time keeping whatever end of the bargain that He would think we would have to do. If it weren't for this kind of covenant, just think of all how many times God might have to send a flood for every generation because of the sin of the people. But no, God made a great promise to Himself and to us, a covenant. And attached to this covenant was the sign of the rainbow. A sign that reminds God, not us, read carefully the text, it reminds God Himself that He would never again flood the earth, and He has graciously revealed this promise to us. And so we look upon the rainbow, and say, God is so good to us and the earth. The second awe comes from the gospel, the New Testament reading today. It's a different kind of awe altogether. The disciples of Jesus went out in a boat after serving the people, the 5,000 people, with the bread and the fish. And not having much rest, they arrive at the middle of the lake. When, what do you know? The winds increase, and they begin struggling against the wind. The text says the winds were against them. And Jesus sees them from the shore, and He begins to walk out to them on top of the water, not sinking, walking on water. What do the disciples do? Well, they see Jesus and they say, "Ah, it's a ghost." In Greek it says a phantasma, a phantom, and it causes them alarm and great fear. Hence the picture on the cover of your bulletin, someone afraid looking at Jesus in the water. The text makes it sound as though they should not have had this reaction because they had just seen Jesus make two fish and five loaves feed 5,000 people. But the text says their hearts were still hardened. They still didn't believe fully in the Lord Jesus. This is the wrong kind of awe to have. They should have had the awe that we think of when we look at a rainbow. Jesus is the rainbow, the sign given in the New Testament that should point us, the disciples of God, to know that God will not let us drown. When you are with Christ, wind and waters are not against you. He calms the winds, and He tells the waves to cease. They are for Him. He is King over creation. What should we as God's disciples do in response? We should stand in awe of our God, not in ghostly fear, but knowing that God is for us with a unilateral promise. God has established a promise with us in Christ Jesus. The sign of this promise is His being lifted up to die, that everyone who believes in Him should live. "It is finished," Jesus said. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It is a new covenant in Jesus' blood, not like the old covenant that we and all people couldn't keep. The promise depends upon God, not you. It is for all hearts to believe. We are simply called to believe it because we are loved. Believe that God is that loving and that gracious. Even when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the last week of July. It's getting close to storm season, tornado season in the central states, hurricane season in the Florida Panhandle and in the Gulf, tsunami season in the other hemisphere. What will people think of God when the storms come? Well, depending on where you live and how the storm travels, some will say, "God is for me." Others will say, "God is against me." When I went down to serve New Orleans right after Hurricane Katrina in the Slidell region, I was amazed at how random the storm affected things. This house, not this house. This business, not this business. Why? Nobody knows. Ask the tornado that whirled off from the hurricane. But the truth from God's word is that God doesn't speak to us through the storms in our lives. He speaks to us through His Son. If you look to nature to discern God's will and His goodness, you will eventually be disappointed. But in Christ, you will always find a truly gracious God, the gracious will of God in Christ Jesus. A God who explains that this world is passing away from sin and death. So stand firm even when the rivers rise and the winds blow. The world may pass away, but God's word will not pass away. And all of us who are united to God's word, who are united to the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, will not drown and not die eternally. We will live in the new heavens and the new earth with Christ Jesus. And when you see and you hear this gracious work of God, when you hear about Jesus walking on the water or doing other miracles to show His divine goodness and mercy, that He is God in the flesh, come to save sinners. Don't say, "Ah," in fear, but say, "Ah, God is good. God is for me. I trust in You." Then know for certain that neither wind nor water nor gates of hell, nothing can prevail against this faith. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.